back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, reunited this week with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going all right. You know, it's Wednesday already, which is crazy. I feel like this week has flown by. But, you know, it's a good thing. It's already midweek. We're kind of just about over the hump here. But, you know, pretty emotional week, emotional day the other day in Philadelphia sports, not the Flyers, but we'll get into that, you know, a couple minutes here. And then, you know, very eventful day today in the NHL, back to hockey. Obviously, we're inching closer and closer to the trade deadline, being on Friday the 8th, just a couple days away. So, you know, we've already had some crazy deals that have gone down. We'll kind of do a full recap next week of a lot of things, because there's bound to be something, you know, right after we're done recording, I'm sure there'll be something crazy that goes down, but we'll pick, you know, a handful of some crazy trades that we feel like and talk about them, give our opinions, you know, all that type of stuff that we do here on 5-Minute Major.
Yes. Next week will be kind of our post-trade deadline deal, because today, for some reason, out of all days, the NHL decided to say, hey, we're into the deadline early, and there's been a whole lot of action, some trades bigger than others. But of course, your Philadelphia Flyers were very active today, so we will get into that in just 2 seconds. But first off, Matt, you did allude to it. A pretty emotional week this week so far in Philadelphia sports. I would say one of the top all-time Philadelphia athletes out of all the major pro teams announced his retirement, and that being Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles. After 13 years, is hanging up his cleats. And it was as soon as he sent out the tweet Monday morning, I believe, Matt, where he said no cake video this year, press conference later today. It was kind of like, all right, he's retiring. Yeah. And like a 45-minute long video, or I think at least a half an hour of it was a speech.
Mm-hmm.
And an excellent speech of that, one that personally made me tear up. He's been a staple athlete of this Eagles team. Arguably, if not one of the greatest centers in the entire history of the NFL, mm-hmm. definitely all time great Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be missed. You know, I don't think he's going to be going anywhere, considering Kylie Kelce is from Delco.
Yeah.
And they live here locally. They have three young girls. They're very embedded in the community. They have a shore house down in Sea Isle. Philadelphia is very much their home. But Eagles games next year are going to be, and for the foreseeable future, going to be very different without 62 lining up at center to hike the ball back to Jalen.
Yeah, it's almost surreal, I think, you know, just not to get too deep here, but, you know, growing up and watching these athletes and seeing them obviously get older, but also, you know, we're getting older as well, and just seeing these days come where it's like they, you know, they retire and they're not going to be there anymore. I think this is kind of one of the first ones that's really hit me hard personally. I never thought, you know, a grown man who plays football and hammers beers would, you know, make me so emotional. But I mean, you can just tell again how much this city meant to, you know, well, means to Jason Kelce. Me, like, how much his career meant to him, you know, how much it meant to so many fans, where the outpouring of just, you know, emotion and, I guess, I don't know if support's the right word, but just, you know, the outpouring of tribute and it did get it was, I mean, I think Kylie Kelce said it in an interview the other day where it was like it was almost overwhelming. And some of it I think was a little over the top where, again, it's like, you know, obviously he's not dead, luckily, but, you know, there's a sense of mourning that does come along with it, where, you know, it's going to be weird the first, you know, that first game next year, but when the Eagles play, you're not going to see, like you said, you're not going to see 62 lined up at center to snap that ball, you know, ever again, which is wild to say. But, you know, I think just Jason Kelce as a player definitely epitomized Philadelphia. You know, his speech was nothing short of awesome. I mean, I still am kicking myself, but now more than ever, obviously, I have to watch the Amazon Prime documentary. Because I'm sure, you know, I've heard great things about that. And just to kind of, you know.
You haven't watched that yet?
No, I feel terrible.
Oh, dude, I've watched it like 3 times.
Yeah.
It's gonna hit home even more. I rewatch now.
But, yeah, I definitely have to get in on that. I've seen, like, clips and bits and pieces on, like, TikTok and stuff. But, you know, I want to just – I'll probably, you know, feel like a teenage girl watching Twilight or something where I'll just get, like, a pint of ice cream and tissues and
– get after it.
Ball my eyes out and eat my ice cream and, you know, over a grown man playing football. But, you know, guy stuff. But, no, I mean, it's just, again – you can't really think of a better Philadelphia athlete, you know. And I mean, there's been a ton of great people that have come through here, but again, for the last 13 seasons, you know, Kelce has epitomized what it means to be obviously a Philadelphia Eagle, but more importantly, you know, a Philadelphia athlete. Also, I mean, a great role model for just, you know, guys out there too.
Oh, he's a fantastic human being.
Yeah, you know, we've seen him having his fun down at the shore, you know, but just the way that he talked about his wife, the way that he talked about his family, his brother, you know, all the people in his life that have helped him get to where he is now, throughout his whole journey. I think that's, you know, that's the most important part is those people that are there for you every step of the way since the beginning. And for him to, you know, go through all that and name so many people by name. But again, he said, he's like, you know, we could be here for hours if I named everybody individually, but just, you know, a complete class act, a great guy, you know, as a human being, a hell of a football player. I mean, you know, the league's not going to be the same without him. The NFL's or the Eagles are, you know, sure as hell not going to be the same without him. But, you know, as they say, all good things must come to an end, and this is definitely, you know, it's bittersweet because you're happy for him where, you know, he can go on to the next chapter of his life as a human being. Obviously, you know, he gave literal blood, sweat, and tears. I know it's cliche, but blood, sweat, and tears to, you know, this city and the Philadelphia Eagles for the last 13 years. And it's, you know, it's a well-earned retirement. Should have got 2 Super Bowls. I know we don't want to get too much into that, but, you know, to get the one that they did in 2017 was, I mean, that can't be replicated. I'll tell you that.
And for a lot of us, we never thought we'd see the day.
Yeah. So.
And they did it.
Yep. But, you know, Kelce, if you ever listen to this somehow, congratulations on your retirement. We're going to miss you out there on the gridiron. I bought your jersey at a great time with the Kelly Green. So, you know, I might have here. To. Hang the jersey from the ceiling of my apartment in the rafters.
I mean, it's a jersey that he's up the likes of the Philly ex-Philly athletes where you can wear his jersey and no one will give you shit for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's up there with, like, you know, I mean, off the top of my head, just from what I have, like John Kruk, I have a Kruk Phillies jersey, you know, Claude Giroux for the Flyers, Kelce, the Eagles. What else? I mean, if you wear an Allen Iverson jersey, for the Sixers, even like Andre Iguodala, my man was Dikembe Mutombo when I was little. So, I mean, you know, he's definitely, like you said, Dave, you wear his jersey to any Philly area place and you're going to get at least one person that's going to be like, hey, man, nice jersey. Because, you know, he's a household name in Philadelphia. He's a household name in the NFL. And, you know, it's, there's that like sense of like, you know, emptiness now. And I think it's like truly not going to hit a lot of people until, you know, that first game, this next NFL season, mm-hmm. and you don't see 62 out there. But, you know, like I said, all good things have to come to an end. He's on to the next chapter of his life personally. We'll see if he does anything professionally again. I know, obviously, you know, it's a big thing nowadays for guys to get into broadcasting and stuff like that. But let the man enjoy his retirement. And, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll cross paths with Jason Kelce, I'm sure, once again down the road here. It's not goodbye. It's see you later, as they say. So, yes. I'm sure, you know, in some way, shape, or form, he'll possibly be involved with football once again. Once he's able to, you know, assimilate himself to the next chapter of his life.
Well, I definitely think he's headed to Canton in the Football Hall of Fame, and I definitely think the Eagles will retire his jersey number.
Yes.
And I think they need to do that as soon as possible.
Yep. That's going to be, I mean, the hottest ticket in town right there.
That's must. That's a must be at game, or at least must watch television, as they say.
Yeah. But, you know, Dave, obviously we have to move on here to the hockey side of things. We are Philadelphia sports fans first and foremost, but also Flyers fans in the mix of all that. But the Flyers, it's been a little bit of an up and down as of late, kind of disappointing. But, you know, like I said before, too, their consistency hasn't really been there. And that's been my, you know, what was it? What was the no free ads, but who was the sponsor for the keys to the game that they used to do?
Was it Toyota?
It might be. Yeah.
Because that's still the RAV 4 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. No, I think that's funny that they do that. Every sport does that on NBC Philadelphia. It's crazy. But it's, I guess, you know, you have a sponsor, you got to have that blanket coverage.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, going back to last week, Dave. The Flyers, I believe the first game we have is the Flyers against the Capitals in Washington on Friday night. Flat out, the Flyers let that get away from them. You know, they have a 2-goal lead. Washington scores 5 unanswered goals the rest of the game. We saw the likes of Bobby Brink and Ollie Leixel both get pasted to the pine by John Tortorella for, I think, what, the last half of the game?
For the entire third period.
Yeah. You know, just a tough night all around for the Flyers. That's a game, again, that, you know, you should win. The Capitals are kind of hollow shells of what they used to be back in the, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s. So that's definitely a wasted opportunity for the Flyers. Luckily, they bounced back the next day against the Ottawa Senators in Philadelphia. That was also, you know, a little bit of a nerve-wracking win. But Tyson Forrester shined, you know, scored 2 goals, 1 on a penalty shot, a record-setting penalty shot.
Yes.
As well, the Flyers becoming the first team to go 5-for-5 in NHL history in penalty shots.
Thought we'd see that happen with the Flyers.
No. But they, you know, they take down the Ottawa Senators, and then on Monday night, the Flyers do what the Phillies cannot do anymore, which is a whole separate thing. It was dollar dog night at the Wells Fargo Center. Phillies, you know, got to get your act together. I don't know what you're doing.
They're doing a BOGO, which is dumb.
Yeah, quick rant. You're going to get 2 hot dogs for $7 instead of 7 hot dogs for $7.
It's probably close to like $10 for 2 hot dogs with that promotion. Knowing the Phillies.
I think a hot dog's like $7-$8.
I think it's gotta be like $8 or $8.50. But knowing the Phillies, they'll raise price of concessions.
That's true.
Friggin' Aramark.
Yeah.
Well, Aramark.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said too, I think we're gonna go off on a tangent here to talk about the mechanics of Dollar Dog Night at the Phillies game. But
it was a shit show.
It was, but there's gotta be a better way to do it where it's like, I'm pretty sure they used to have people in, like, as they usually do at points, they have the vendors walking around in the ballpark. I was at one of them last year, Dave. I don't know. Were you at one, too?
Yes. Yes, okay. I went to one.
I didn't even eat a hot dog.
Oh, I did. But you had to wait a minute for dogs. And there was a limit. You could only buy like a max thing of four dogs per person.
Yeah.
And so, the lines were insane.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way to, you know, because they've done it so many times before.
It's a baseball classic. You think a dollar dog night and go into a ballpark.
Yeah. So anyway.
At Philly's a shame.
Yes. Ring the bell like in Game of Thrones. Shame.
He's a disgrace, Meek Mill, but, Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
Back to hockey. You know, we're already blue over the Phillies canceling Dollar Dog Night, but to make things even more blue, the Flyers lost to the Blues, the St. Louis Blues, on Monday night for Dollar Dog Night at the Wells Fargo Center. You know, they lose in a shootout. Both goalies played really well. I feel the same way as you, Dave. I am not a Jordan Binnington fan at all. So, you know, I was hoping that they would pull that one out. In true return to Philly fashion for a former Flyer or, you know, athlete in general, Kevin Hayes of the Blues scores the most Kevin Hayes goal that he could have against this.
Breaks a 19-game scoreless drought.
Yes. I mean, that was just, you know, whoever bet Hayes as a goal scorer that night, I'm sure made some good money. But they should have gotten bonus money for the way that he did score it, because it's no offense to him as a person, but, you know, he's just a goofy hockey player at points. And the way that he scored, obviously, is that, if you don't know, he was on a breakaway and literally tried to go backhand, fell over on his own without being touched. And the goal, the puck goes five hole on Sam Ersson into the net.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the most like womp womp goal ever. And, you know, it's Kevin Hayes. And again, the guy's a great dude. I'm not trying to insult.
We were big fans of his when he was here. We were a proud supporter of Kevin Hayes.
But like, again, he's a goofy hockey player. He has a goofy style at points. And, you know, to have a goal like that is just, again, it's already bad enough that you score against your former squad, but to have him score like that, and then it also, again, be, like you said, it breaks a 19-game goalless drought for him, you know, that's like chef's kiss, just peak Flyers right there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not getting any easier here, and the Flyers are kind of, you know, you can't. I think the Devils, I feel like, have waved their white flag at this point. They just fired Lindy Ruff yesterday. But, you know, they're only 4 points ahead of the Islanders right now in the standings for the third overall, the third spot in the Metro Division. So, I mean, you got to just keep, you know, as Dory says, kind of, you got to keep swimming, but you got to keep winning.
Yeah.
And their schedule's not going to be, you know, any easier here.
No, they've got some tough games coming up.
Yeah.
Which really like bugs me, like that. Like, I can take losing in the shootout to St. Louis, cuz you know what? At least you got a point in the game and it's a Western Conference opponent. It's not someone you're battling with in the standings for. But just the fact that they couldn't even, you know, like they dropped another divisional game this season. Mm-hmm. Like the Flyers have like lost big games to Metro Division teams, to rivals. And that's why, like, that I was really angry after the loss to Washington, because the Flyers were up 2-0, like you mentioned, Matt, and then they just kind of phoned it in and they played like absolute garbage for the rest of that game.
Yeah.
Granted, Washington is on a bit of a heater and they got themselves back into the mix of things. But just, it's really just an unacceptable effort Friday night and down in our nation's capital. But it was really important to come out. If they lose to Ottawa, that would have been like a big, like, whoa, what's going to happen here? But yeah. Look, they got the victory. Granted, the second period was a little bit hairy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Flyers still are treading water. Like, if they drop one, they win one. But they're not really playing good full complete games. They're playing good periods. Mm-hmm. And lately, when they won, they played good 2 out of 3 and those good two out of three got them the victory, or they got really good, excellent goaltending. Like that St. Louis game, like they literally got goalied. I mean, I know, like you said, Matt, we're not the biggest Binghamton fans because the dude's just a straight up asshole. But he is a pretty good goaltender, and he, you know, he made over 40 saves because the Flyers were all over St. Louis.
Yeah.
But yet again, the pesky shootout, which they've been good in this year. And, you know, Sam Erickson's been really good. And, like, he almost stopped Buchnevich from scoring that winner. Just Buchnevich has just such a huge wingspan where he's able to sink that puck by him for the winner.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least they got the point there. But it really is coming to a point now where you were saying, Matt, you know, their schedule coming up. You know, it's Florida tomorrow night, Tampa Bay Saturday, San Jose next Tuesday, Toronto next Thursday, Boston next Saturday. Then Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Florida, Rangers, Montreal, Chicago. Out of that list of games, the only really, but just by looking at the calendar and saying that game should be a win, I only count, there's only three games that should be guaranteed wins based off of the teams on paper. And that's San Jose next Tuesday, the 12th, and then the games against Montreal on the 28th and Chicago on the 30th. The rest of the games are really gimmies. Now, to be fair, they have played the Florida Panthers very, very well this season, as have they the Tampa Bay Lightning. Same with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Boston has given us fits, so that's a big tester game. Carolina is a big tester game. The Flyers have played Carolina well. But the Rangers, again, like having Boston twice, the Rangers once more, and Florida and Tampa again. These are really big, big games this season. And it's this stretch of games really is going to determine, you know, if the Flyers make the playoffs. I was listening to the PHL Live podcast this morning on my way into work. And I know Charlie Connor was mentioning, you know, Dom Lish's and his analytics model has the Flyers at a 54% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still above 50%, so that, I guess that's a good thing, but it's going to be really important. And all in all, if they want to keep on doing the pace they're going and clinch a playoff spot, which I believe is now the main goal this season, they need to elevate their play again. And they need the likes of Sean Couturier to return to the level he was playing at earlier this season. And they also need a healthy Travis Konecny back in the lineup, which I believe is set to happen tomorrow night. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, the Flyers are a little banged up, too. But like you said, Dave, the schedule doesn't get any easier. And you're basically playing, you know, you're playing playoff opponents aside from, you know, two trap games that you call them in San Jose and Montreal.
In Chicago, three trap games.
Yeah. So, you know, they played them well this season, but, you know, it's going to be different because there could be a couple more. You know, we don't know what's going to happen from now until, you know, Friday. Whatever roster they have, I'm sure, obviously, you know, going into tomorrow night, you know, will be set. But Florida, I mean, again, looks a little different now, too. They just got Vladimir Tarasenko today in a trade with the Senators. So, you know, sometimes teams get new guys on the team, and it's, you know, technically, I think, let me know if this makes sense. So our last three games, if you include tomorrow, have been against a team with Vladimir Tarasenko.
St. Louis,
at one point or another.
He never played for the Caps.
Well, so I'm saying Ottawa, St. Louis, and then Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that is correct.
So he's been on the team at one point or another is what I'm trying to say, but that's like a little like puck doku for you, I guess.
Yeah, he's most known for being a Blue. I mean, that's where he won. He was part of that Stanley Cup team, and they're the ones who drafted him and got him over from Russia.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess, you know, Tarasenko has somehow been up against the Flyers.
And he plays good against the Flyers.
Two out of the last three games. Yeah, he scored on Saturday against us.
He always scores. Like, yeah. We haven't played him often in his career since he was with the Blues for so long. But whenever the Flyers play the Blues, you could put money on Vlad Tarasenko getting a goal because he just knows how to score.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like we both said, you know, this is no time for the Flyers to fall apart, hopefully. And it's good that they'll get Konechny back. Obviously, you know, Konechny's been arguably our best player all season. And then, you know, Couturier, we kind of texted it back and forth a little bit about this, but Couturier needs to kick in the ass. I'll tell you that. You know, you can't be the captain of a team and you're playing fourth line minutes, or, you know, he didn't see any ice in the shooter in the overtime the other night against against St. Louis. He did go in the shootout, lost the puck, trying to stick handle, which bothered me too. But I mean, that happens. But when you're in, you know, when you're in his situation too, you need more from the guy. I know he's only been the captain for what, 3 weeks or so now, but you gotta, you know, get your shit together, because you're leading a team that is on the brink of, you know, playoff possibilities here. And you yourself, you know, if you need to lead by example as well to a degree. So, you know, I don't know what he's got going on. Like you said, Dave, when we were texting, maybe the injury, you know, bugs have caught up with him from the last couple of years. But whatever it is, he's got to figure out quick, because, you know, you can't be a captain and be playing fourth line minutes and, you know, be invisible out there.
Yeah, it's especially tough because, like, you know, you think he would get ice time in the overtime, considering how good he is at faceoffs and how he is defensively. But, you know, he's definitely – something's going on with him, and he's not playing the level he's playing. But, you know, they really do need him getting back to that elite defensive ability and at least go to 5-on-5, because the defense right now is hurting. You know, as we know, Drysdale is out. He's week to week on injury reserve. Ristolainen's been out for a while now. So the Flyers, of course, they just called up Adam Yining from the Phantoms today. They called up Ronnie Adderd last week. And so now you have to think, with Nick Seeler, who we're going to talk about soon here, getting his now going on IR as well, and they're considering him, you know, day to day, I guess, per se. No, they put him on IR, so he's at least going to miss a week.
I think he has foot, right?
Yeah. They haven't said it's broken, but he's probably in a walking boot. But with him being out now, you have to assume Adderd innings getting in the lineup.
Yep.
Now this is a young, fragile defense at points. Now, to be fair, I will give accolades to Cam York. He's really elevated his game lately, as his Travis Sanheim's gotten back to that point. You know, as of right now, the defense for tomorrow night's game, it looks like it's gonna be it's York, it's Sanheim, it's Mark Stahl, it's Ronnie Adderd, and Adam Yining.
Oof.
Am I missing anybody else?
No.
Because
you know, spoiler alert, Sean Walker got traded.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's not good. Yeah, I mean, I think too, what I was gonna touch on quick is that a good word that you can use to describe the Flyers, and forget who tweeted this, but they were spot on, is volatile, like volatile, whatever you want to call it. Tomato, tomato. But you know, we've seen how good they can be, but we've also seen how bad they can be and how quickly they can be bad. So, you know, the Flyers are basically like the Bitcoin of the NHL right now. you know, you could be worth $40,000 one day and then completely crash and be worth $40 the next day. But then go right back up to, you know, $20,000 the next day or something like that. So, you know, there's gotta be, and obviously again, this is the first year of a rebuild. So, you know, things are forgivable to a degree. I think that if they let, you know, a playoff spot slip away from them at this point, that's going to leave a sour taste in people's mouths for the first year of this rebuild, especially going into the offseason. But, you know, I think, you know, there's just you got to have faith. I know it kind of is like a cop-out answer, but you just got to have faith and hope that they – you know, can handle this adversity they've been given with, you know, some roster moves, some injuries, all that type of stuff. And they keep playing the way that they can play. So,
yeah, I mean, and there is some, I guess, some positives in the end of the tunnel. They feel like Sandstrom in combination with their defense, he did play pretty well against Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
But I still think, and we've touched this on many podcasts, Matt, if the Flyers are seriously making a push for the postseason. I mean, if they don't trade for a goalie, he really needs Sandstrom to play like he did against Ottawa when he gets in the lineup, because it's going to be Sam Harrison's net. But that defense right now, I mean, Adam Yining and Addard have earned their call-up. They've been really good with the Phantoms this season. Mm-hmm. So see what they can do. But the Flyers, if they're trying to make the playoffs, every game essentially this season is you need at least get a point. You cannot afford a regulation loss at this point.
Yeah, and like I don't want to lose our spot to the Islanders either. Like
no. Also, the Islanders, like, I think they just won a couple hot games. I'm not the biggest fan of Patrick Waugh as a head coach. I mean, they have phenomenal. They have one of, if not the best goalie in the league right now in Sorokin.
Yeah.
But you know, it's gonna be interesting. You also really don't want the Islanders to make the playoffs because I don't want to watch the Islanders bore us to death in the postseason.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. But you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that. But speaking of the opposite of boring, there's my segue for you. Obviously, you know, today was a very eventful day already with the trade deadline. Like I said, looming, being on Friday, the 8th of this month. Sorry, I'm trying to think of my dates. again, like I said, to start the podcast tonight, you know, there's already been a lot of trades that have gone down, minor, major, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, we're going to go over some of them next week because, again, I'm sure the floodgates are open, but there's definitely still going to be some more water that's going to be flowing through here the next couple of days, next day and a half. So we would be doing an injustice, like I said, Dave, if we, you know, we finish recording and some crazy trade breaks and then we're just like, hey, did you see this? And we're like, yeah, too bad we didn't talk about it. You know, it didn't happen a half hour ago. We can break it live or something like that. But we'll go over all that type of stuff. You know, if you're a hockey fan to the caliber that you and me are, Dave, you know, obviously the people out there will be tuned in to, you know, Trade Center on, I think NHL Network broadcasts it. You know, Twitter's going to be rolling. Obviously, look for those blue check marks. Well, I can't even say that anymore now because you can just buy one.
You have to be following the person and know that.
Check your sources.
Check your sources.
So, but anyway, you know, it's going to get, it's already gotten pretty hot here with, you know, trades breaking left and right. Kevin Weeks is back in his mode where you can only see his forehead and he's in like the pantry or out of like a skyscraper or something.
It's like the middle of NYC breaking one today.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's the man. He's the man.
Where in the world is Kevin Weeks?
Yep. So, you know, we'll go over all that stuff, but we do have a couple of Flyers. Well, we have a trade and a extension to talk about, Dave.
Yes.
I'll just kind of go over it quick. Sean Walker was traded earlier today to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for Marcus Johansson. Sorry.
No, Ryan Johansson.
Ryan Johansson? Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
Former Columbus Blue Jacket and Nashville Predator, Ryan Johansson.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking Marcus. Anyway. Ryan Johansson and a 2025 first round pick. So yes,
conditional,
but hey, big round of applause to Danny Briere. I mean, you know, that's what we wanted out of either Walker and or Seeler was a first round pick, and by gone, we got one. Yes. So, you know, I think it's a great trade. Walker obviously was a guy where as the season went on, you saw how well he was doing. You saw the situation that was evolving with the Flyers, whether they were going to be in the playoffs or not. And you're just thinking to yourself, he might be that guy that, you know, we have to get something significant for, especially, you know, draft capital. And, you know, we got it, which is good. Walker played really well for the Flyers this year. You know, he was kind of a come out of nowhere type of guy. We didn't really know kind of much about him like the beginning of the season, but then
he was a cap dump in the Provorov trade from the Kings.
Yeah. Yep. But you know, salute. Thank you for your service, Walker. You know, wish you the best of luck in your career from here. Can't really say welcome to the Flyers, Ryan Johansson, because the dude was put on waivers immediately.
After trading
for him. So they didn't even, you know, probably give him keys to the building, which is, you know, it happens, I guess. But I think he's got a $4 million cap hit through the end of next year.
Correct.
So even he, you know, could be essentially a cap dump at this point.
Oh, he is. The Avs got rid of him to make space.
Yep. I think they were also already retaining 50% of his salary from Nashville.
I'm not sure if he signed there as a free agent or if he got traded. I can't remember.
Gotcha. I think they are retaining some type of salary, I believe. My iPad's not charged, so I'm just going straight off my memory.
Straight off the noggin.
Yeah. But I believe there was some sort of salary retention. But like you said, Dave, the conditional, the first round pick is conditional. It's still a first round pick, which is great. I mean, you can't take away that word conditional. Obviously means that there's stipulations.
Yeah, it's an easy one. It's top 10 protected. So if the Avalanche were to have their pick next year be in the top 10, the pick within slide of the Flyers for the 2026 draft.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple condition. The Flyers also did send a 2026 fifth round pick to the Avalanche in the deal as well.
There you go. But you know, Dave, your thoughts on the trade here. I think it's So I would say a solo home run for Danny Briere. If I had to go rank it, you know, maybe a two-run homer.
Yeah, no, it's the Danny Briere definitely. You know, he hit a solid, you know, a two-run homer. I'd agree with you there. They were talking about extending Walker, and it sounded like, you know, he would be interested in staying, but it sounds like he was asked for two money. It's interesting, and we'll touch on this with Nick Seeler. Last week, and I heard this again on the PHLY podcast today from Charlie Connor. Charlie asked Nick Seeler, like, hey, you know, the trade deadline is next week. What are your thoughts? Like, what do you want to do? And Nick Seeler was very adamant. He's like, I want to be a Philadelphia Flyer. I love it. This is where I'm playing now. This is my team. I want to see this through. And then he asked Sean Walker that same question. And Sean Walker's response was, well, I'm going to let my agent handle all that. And whatever happens, happens.
There's two different types of people in the world.
Exactly. Now, to be fair, Sean Walker, he came here, he did his job, did his service. He was a salary cap dump, having a career year. And, you know, he wanted, you know, north of $5 million per season at, you know, 4 to 5 years. And the Flyers weren't willing to give that up. So they traded him and they got a really good value back for him. I love getting that first round pick because obviously the Flyers are rebuilding, even though they're in the position to make the playoffs, they are still rebuilding. So that's huge. And apparently the Flyers scouts really pushed for Briere and the Avs to get a first round pick in next year's draft versus this year's, because this year's draft really is kind of strong up until about around pick 20, and it drops off. And you have to think the Avalanche are probably picking from like anywhere from 23 to 32. They're going to be in that range. So if they've really got the pick this year, it wouldn't have been that successful. So getting it for next year is solid, because supposedly next year's draft is a really, really solid draft, especially for centermen. And even in the middle parts of the first round, where the Flyers will probably be picking with Colorado's pick. So that's really, really excellent, you know, high praise value. It's clear that Danny Briere's trade machine is much better than whatever Chuck Fletcher's trade machine was last season. Remember, he's all, I put in the app and it didn't work. Well, Danny Briere has the app that worked.
I will say this quick too, Dave, with the first round picks. So this is from Jordan Hall on Twitter. I said this to one of my other friends earlier, but he tweeted earlier saying the Flyers, including last summer, have a chance to make 6 first round selections in a 3-year span.
That's huge. So
that's big. I mean, you can't really ask for much more than that in a rebuild.
No, you rebuild through the draft, but you also, in real rebuilding, you know, the proper way, you can use some of those draft picks as assets to bring in higher end talent.
Yep.
So, like, who knows? Some of these picks could be used in acquiring a key piece for the future for the Flyers. You know, they could use it to move up in the draft. They could use it to bring in a star player. So this is really huge. You know, clearly Ryan Johansson was a throw-in where the Astros said, hey, listen, if we're going to give you a first-round pick, you need to take on this contract from us.
Yeah.
Johansson went to Colorado to try and be their second-line center. That didn't work out. He ended up pretty much playing third or fourth line minutes for the Avs. Played okay, depth scorer. The dude just can't skate in the NHL anymore. It's been reported by multiple Flyers beat writers that if Johansson does clear, he's going to report to Lehigh Valley and finish out the season with the Phantoms, pending, of course, any other further injury that might happen where he would get called up. Just because looking at this Flyers roster on offense, there's no room for him, like, anywhere. Like, the current lineup as is, even having Bobby Brink or Ollie Laixell in there, I don't want Johansson in above either of them. So really the Phantoms is the best spot for him. You know, fingers crossed, what is ultimately the best scenario would hopefully be is that he gets claimed. Because then you can wipe your hands clean of that contract and that player. But I just don't see any team really claiming him at where he's at. But it was something necessary the Flyers had to do. You probably think they buy him out this summer. Because I believe if they were to buy him out, it'd be under $2 million for the next 2 years to buy out his contract. So we'll see what happens there. But you have to think the Flyers are hoping he gets picked up by somebody just because, you know, why else trade for him if he's not a cap dump and then waive him right away? But all in all, really, this was a nice deal done by Danny Briere. I'm glad he got it done. Sean Walker probably is never going to perform at this level in his career ever again, honestly. You know, he's proven that he's a solid NHL caliber middle pair defenseman. You know, he's proven that. Ever again. Now, to be fair, it sounds like, you know, since he went to Colorado and the Avs did trade Bowen Byram, you know, he's going to probably be paired with Sam Girard on their second pairing. So going to a similar situation, but he's going to a very, very, very good team that's looking to make a playoff run. And then you have to assume Walker, depending on how he performs in Colorado, is going to cash in with a nice payday this summer in free agency. But Danny Briere, the big thing was getting that first round pick, which is a great asset to get back, and giving up that fifth round pick. Fifth-round picks are nobodies usually. Very rarely do anything in picks 5, 6, and 7 rounds mean anything in the NHL draft these days. So, and you can get those pretty easily as well. It's not like a fifth-round pick's a big asset to lose. So,
yep.
You know, we'll see what happens. But really, really good job by Danny Briere again, getting that first-round pick for either 2025 or 2026 is huge, and it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, just right now, it does weaken the defense a little bit with the injuries, but you know, you made sure you were able to bring in assets for an asset that was going to walk probably come July 1st. So,
yep, definitely. But then, you know, keeping it on the deals end of things here, Dave, our last topic of discussion, tonight for time's sake, the Flyers did sign defenseman Nick Seeler to a contract extension. The contract is 4 years with a $2.7 million AAV. I think, again, this is a great deal. Seeler's been, you know, a great depth defenseman. You know, obviously a guy who wants to play here, which is huge in a rebuild. Seems to be a great, you know, locker room presence, all that type of stuff. All around good guys, they say. But, you know, you can't complain about this deal. I know that there were rumblings of him getting more money, which would have, you know, you don't want to kind of handcuff yourself here with a guy. Not saying he's a bad player, but you know, he's obviously not a top pairing defenseman. No. I mean that in the nicest way possible, Nick Seeler, if you're ever listening to this. You know, it's a great deal for a depth guy. Seeler, I feel like, is a guy where, you know, say, you know, God willing, the Flyers are in the Stanley Cup final the next, you know, 3 years maybe. Seeler is a guy that can, you know, leave it all out there for you. We've seen him take on the likes of Jamie Oleksiak, who's like, what, a half a foot taller than him when he was on the Kraken. I was at that game, and that was probably one of the loudest times that I've heard in the Wells Fargo Center the past 5 years, that fight between them. You know, he was playing wing at one point last year, which shows how much of a shit show the Flyers were.
He scored an unreal goal last year, too.
He did, yeah. I mean, he's got hands, too. Like, he's a guy where it's good where, you know, as a defenseman, you don't want your name to come up too much. You want it to come up only in a positive light. But he's a guy where, you know, he goes out there, he plays 110% every night. Obviously, it sucks that he, you know, has a foot injury at this point, or an LBI, a lower body injury.
It's not Long Beach Island.
No, he took a shot to the foot the other night against the Blues. I mean, if his foot is broken, he came back out, skated for, you know, a shift or two, and then was like, yeah, I can't do this. But, you know, he's got balls. The Flyers got balls. But this is a great deal, and I have no complaints. But, Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I personally, I love this extension. It's a great 2.7 AAV is phenomenal. It's a steal. You know, he's leading the entire NHL in shots. He is a shot-blocking machine. He's just a very solid defensive defenseman. Blocks shots. Excellent penalty killer. Gets the puck out of the zone easily. And, you know, he does all the intangibles right. He's a great locker room guy. He has that hockey it factor that the hockey men love to see. And I'm sure the Flyers could have gotten good value for him, but he wanted to stay here. You know, that fourth year does kind of sting, but having that fourth year probably is what helped get the AAV under $3 million. Great that, you know, I personally would have been fine if they got him at 3 or 3.5. The hearing the rumblings of 4 earlier in the week, I was like, yeah, 4 is a little high for Nick Seeler, but yeah. 2.7 is like, again, another home run, like, well done, Danny Briere. Your calculator is better than Chuck Fletcher's was, too, ever. So it's a very nice deal. I don't like, he does have a full no trade clause and no movement clause for years 1 and 2 of the deal. So that does kind of stink. But, you know, most players get those these days, especially if they were playing somewhere where they want to stay. You know, Nick Seeler, I believe he almost quit hockey before he came to the Flyers. And before he came to the Flyers, he was just kind of a nobody in Minnesota's system. And he is one of the positives that Chuck Fletcher did bring to the team, because he really has, ever since he's been with the Flyers, he's been a very solid and serviceable NHL defenseman. Mm-hmm. And he goes out there, and you know every single night watching Nick Seeler, he's going balls to the wall, and he's giving you 110%. And that's good in a rebuild. That's incredibly important to have in your locker room, because it's going to help not just only the defense, but the whole rest of the team. You know, because Nick Seeler blocks breaks up an important play or blocks a huge shot and glimpse off the ice, he's going to hear it in a good way from the Wells Fargo crowd, from the Wells Fargo Center crowd, and the fans are going to be loving it. And then subconsciously, you're going to have someone like Cam York or Travis Sanheim or Jamie Drysdale go, hey, I want that too. And also, just he sets that good example back there. And, you know, he's not afraid to drop the mitts and let people know, and he defends the goalies well. You know, he's a very serviceable, solid bottom pairing defenseman. Year 4, year 3 of this deal might stink. But for the next 2 years, you know, we got really good value for a guy. And, you know, if he ends up being a number 7 defenseman at one point, 2.7 sitting in the press box ain't that bad, and that's stomachable. So, I really do like this extension. It's key. It's important to have people that want to be here in Philadelphia playing for the Flyers, not like what they had in years past. So, I love this, and I'm a big fan. You know, going forward, Matt, real quick, you know, of course, the deadline is Friday. We still have a lot of things that need to be done. I still think the Flyers need to get another goalie, and I think they need to find a way to trade Mark Stahl. And they might not do that because of how the injuries are playing right now, but just earlier in the year, he passed the eye test, and he was passing on the analytics. These past couple games, he's not been good. But with how things are going on the back end with injuries right now, can the Flyers afford to trade him? Because is someone else going to be better than him? That's the big question. But I definitely think, you know, if I'm Danny Briere, I'm still trying to find a way to get another goalie here, and I'm moving Mark Stahl somehow if I possibly can.
Yeah. I feel like the Flyers are at, like, the point of the end of, like, an old-timey TV show where they have, like, the narrator come on, and they're like, Will the Flyers make the playoffs? Will they trade Mark Stahl? Will, you know, whatever happen? And they're like, stay tuned and find out next week on, you know, whatever. Like, one of those old Yeah, cartoon TV series where it's just like the really dramatic narrator and there's some crazy cliffhanger that happens. But no, I mean, you know, like you said, Dave, you hit the nail on the head where I think Mark Stahl is, you know, again, he's a better hockey player than I'll ever be. But
can confirm he is playing in the show and has been in the show for almost 20 years. So.
I was going to say, you know, I'm not going to fault the guy for being bad at hockey if he's been there that long. But I think, again, the key right now is just to kind of see what, if anything, does happen from now until Friday. Obviously, the Flyers have a game in Florida against the Panthers tomorrow night. We'll see how that goes. But it's going to be interesting to see, again, you know, what goes down around the entire league the next couple of days, because obviously, you know, teams that are in the mix are bolstering themselves for a playoff run. Teams that are out of it have been, you know, liquidating, I guess you could use that term. But, you know, just zeroing in on the Flyers, they know what they have to do. They know what they should do. We know what they should do. You know, obviously we're experts. We're never wrong.
Never.
But.
You know, luckily they did do, one of the things they had to do was figure out, are they trading both Seeler and Walker, or sending one and trading the other? And they took care of their main business for the deadline.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, there's obviously still some uncertain things that could happen, but the here and the now is the focus on, you know, again, that consistency where you can't have one step forward, two steps back, where, you know, you win a game, you lose two, you win two, you lose three. It's got to be, like you said, I mean, worst case scenario has got to be you get a point out of almost every game from here on out. You know, 2 points is ideal, but you can't be having these, you know, empty losses, as I'll call it. The shootout loss, you know, you can't really complain too much about, because you do get that loser point, as they call it, but you can't leave any building, whether it's the Wells Fargo Center or whatever arena they're playing in, you can't leave that building empty. So, but with that, Dave, I'll give it to you, like I usually do, to, you know, give us the rounds of our fellow podcasters and bloggers, and you know, give you the talking stick through my computer screen.
Yes, this is where our week of the podcast, where we've entered the portion of the show where I tell you to check out two sources. One being our newest affiliate in the Pheps Sports blog, great friend of the pod, Rocco Romeo, and his blog there, posting articles on our podcast as well as his other writers for all the other major Philadelphia sports. So check out the Pheps Sports blog. Then two, our great affiliates and partners in the Pod Street Bullies. Again, want to shout out a thank you to Pod Street Hogs, good old Matthew Hoagland, for hopping on the pod last week, Matt, in your absence there.
Thank you, Hoagie.
Yes, thank you, Hoagie, as always. They're putting out excellent weekly content, as always. They put out a great trade deadline preview episode just last night before all this went down. So their next podcast will be after it, the trade deadline's over. So that'll be an excellent must-listen. So if you like what we do, check out the Pod Street Bullies. You can find them all on the major podcast receptacles. So Pheps Sports Blog, Pod Street Bullies, check them out, people. Everyone, continue to be safe, be happy. Big couple days coming up. Matt and I will be back next week with a brand new podcast to kind of put a bow on the trade deadline.
Daylight savings this weekend, too. We will lose an hour of sleep, but we will gain an hour of sunlight.
Love to see it, as you like to say. It's tip season, and you love to see it. The two things. Biggest two things, Matt.
We'll get started on tip season.
I know it's an unreal time. But everyone, keep on staying safe. You know, enjoy the hockey. Matt and I will be back next week to wrap up the trade deadline and let you know how the Flyers have been doing lately. But with that, everyone, good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.